You're in the 06010. Focus. Fantasy. Fantasy Focus.
Welcome to Fantasy Focus. Today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feeds, as well as the ESPN app, and you can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcast. Field and Matthew back here today, Stefania and Daniel as well. We got a full house, Matthew.
And you know what would be fun, Field? Just something for you to try. Just something for you to try in the future. Just I'm throwing this out there. I'm throwing it in the suggestion box there. Just let it rattle around in your head.
Yeah.
Just because we do this show on video. You can watch the show live, as you noted, right? There's an audio product to it as well, but you can actually watch us live on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, the ESPN app, and so forth. And so when you say, we're presented by Geico, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I think it would be cool. All right. I'm on camera one. All right. Thank you, Lisa. All right. So I think it would be cool if you said the Fantasy Focus podcast is presented by Geico. And for those listening, what I did is I gestured my arms out in kind of a big grand gesture. Like you're presenting something. Like, thank you. You're welcome. I think Geico would appreciate it. I just think it just a little more showmanship. Like, you know, just don't read what's on your, it's a video. What we're doing here, it's not just audio. It's now visual. Matthew, and I think I'm just a little showmanship here. Can you put a little pizzazz into
it? You're right. I got to say this, Field. Matthew is 100% right. And I'm taking you off the starting team. You're going back on the bench. Matthew, you're doing all the opens rest of the season because you got that entertainment quality that we are looking for.
Done. I was going to say, why stop at the open? Like, you can host the whole show.
Just do the
I don't
whole
know
thing.
That we'd be any Fantastic. Worse for the wear.
Well, look,
actually have to pay attention for like more than 40% of the show.
You mean I can't text? It's going to be hard for me to text and tweet when I'm talking the whole time.
You can't make prop bets while hosting the show upsetting. At the same time.
Yeah, I got to think this through now.
Yeah.
That's very upsetting. Never mind. You were doing good as you were.
Presented by Geico.
Doesn't it seem like it feels a little more showmanship? Yeah. A little more, just a little more feels like a little bigger.
Well, let's try to make this very showmanship-like. Or, you know what? Do you want to do the whole... You know what? I have an idea, actually.
Yeah, what
show.
Do you got?
Should we do the entire episode in Brian Kelly accents? And we can just choose which one we want to do? Because it's V-Week at ESPN, and our partnership with the V Foundation highlights the urgent need for cancer research and the elimination of racial disparities in cancer outcomes. You can learn more and help support by visiting v.org/donate. 100% of your donation goes directly to cancer research. We've talked about this a bunch, Matthew. You brought home this point. You made it very clear. 100% of your donation goes right to cancer research. That is very uncommon. It's extremely
100%
noble.
100%. We are not making that up. If you donate to V.org, I guarantee every single cent you donate goes to fighting cancer, goes to research. Will not go to overhead. Will not go to advertising. Will not go to fancy V Foundation sweatshirts or hoodies. It will go to fighting research. It will go to fighting cancer. It will go to finding research. I fight research. That's what I do. That's my lane. But the V Foundation, they fight cancer.
You could barely fund even do this research. In a straight, normal
they,
man.
They
Why
fund
would you
research to fight cancer.
So a lot of things to break down from that. First of all, Stefania, I can't tell. Was he Brian Kelly as the LSU head coach, who over the span of 48 hours now has a southern accent, was he his own self as Tiger King last Halloween, or was he the coach from The Waterboy, Bobby Boucher, you come on over here? Who was he?
Twitter just went sideways on that, and
agreed.
It was perhaps my favorite thing in the evening. But Matthew, put that back in the closet and don't ever bring that out again.
Okay.
I'm out of the closet, Stefania. Don't put baby in a corner. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
We are mixing all sorts of metaphors here. What is going on, Daniel?
I don't know what happened to you on those days you were gone, but I'm calling Beth. We need an intervention.
Believe me.
Listen,
why are you doing that to Beth? Here, I'll talk normal for a second. Why are you going to do that to Beth? Poor Beth is like, listen, when he goes to work, that's my break from him. You know, like, I get Matthew free air hours just like you guys do.
An intervention is me and Beth going and drinking wine.
Oh, there you go. That's what we're calling it.
One more piece of news before we get into football news.
Oh, yeah, this is actually important.
Fantasy Football Now will air Sunday, not on ESPN2, but instead on ESPN's Twitter, ESPN's fantasy Facebook page, the ESPN app. Am I missing one there?
YouTube.
YouTube as well. Big on the YouTube. Yeah, people love their YouTube, but you know,
different. I believe, Matt Harrington, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe we will be on ESPN's YouTube channel.
Yes.
We will be on the ESPN app.
Yes.
Will we be on the ESPN fantasy app?
Fantasy Facebook page, I believe.
So in the ESPN fantasy Facebook page. So if you go to the book of face over there, you can find, look for ESPN
Meta. ESPN meta page.
Sure. I can't wait for the metaverse where it's me as an avatar. I'm all spooky, coming to haunt your fantasy teams.
Spookier,
fair. And then also on Twitter, is it the @ESPN handle? Is it the @fantasy focus handle? Which handle is it?
Both. ESPN Twitter handles where you'll probably see it originate, and then we'll retweet it several times over. We are going for 2.5 hours.
Oh my goodness.
Straight. No That's breaks. You think Matthew is discombobulated during a 60-minute podcast? Wait till you see him on Sunday for 2.5 straight hours. It is a 1 week and 1 week only occurrence. Do not miss it. It's like the circus coming into town for one night only.
Wow.
It's by the way, probably just an appropriate metaphor, right?
And so. Just got a text alert from Scott Clark, of course, @all_biz on Twitter, the Adam Schefter of the War Room League.
Right.
He, by the way, top 20 participant in Scott Fishbowl this year, by the way, absolutely crushing. He's no Stefania Bell, who's top five, but he is doing very well this year. Anyway, he lets me know that all ESPN digital platforms, including all the main ESPN accounts on social media and the ESPN Fantasy app. So I assume everyone listening to this podcast has the ESPN Fantasy app, has at least one team that they play with us. So you'll be able to watch it on the ESPN Fantasy app. And if not, just you can go to the ESPN YouTube page or ESPN @ESPN on Twitter. There will be a lot of different places.
Yeah, we're going to make sure that you know exactly where to find us come Sunday morning. And with that, we get right into the news. We'll recap Thursday Night Football in just a moment.
Too late to say right into anything at this point.
Well, we are going to get
Hey, as long as we're paused, can I say one last thing?
And we're then not paused, but go ahead.
As long as we haven't actually started the show, I just want to say this.
Okay.
I have gotten a lot, and I think you guys have seen this as well, but I've gotten a lot of notifications on Twitter and Instagram from people thanking us, notifying that they listened to us, that we're one of their most listened to on Spotify. Yeah. And obviously our podcast is available wherever you get podcasts. We're on Apple and everywhere. But Spotify does this thing where you can share on social what your most listened to podcasts are. And I have been overwhelmed by the number of people that have put Fantasy Focus as their number one podcast, as their one of their top five listened podcasts. And so we don't take this for granted, and we're really appreciative of that. And so I've tried to respond or like or acknowledge all the ones I've seen. I get a lot of notifications. So if I didn't get to yours, I apologize. But just know that we see them and we appreciate it, and we're incredibly grateful.
Yeah, well said. Certainly appreciate all the support for those listening to the podcast on Spotify. My top five revealed a few ska bands. I've been getting big into those recently. So Suburban Legends, amongst the most well-known ska bands. Yeah. Really, anywhere. Yeah.
Suburban Legends is not one of the most well-known ska bands. It is in my book. There's just one that I really like.
I was going to say,
Orange County.
I know them, so that makes them well-known because I don't know many other ska bands. Let's get into the football now.
They're more well-known than a bunch of Daniel's crappy bands that no one's ever heard of.
Come on. Right. Let's get into it.
Yes, sir.
By the way, Daniel's bands, like, they're so low. They're so cool. They're not on Spotify. Like, they're only available. You have to buy their album, like a hard copy. That's how you know you're into, like,
vinyl
cool
only.
Bands. Yeah. Vinyl only. All right, let's get vinyl into the football, and we'll get to Thursday Night Football in just a second. We'll also have a full preview with plenty of injury updates. But first, we have some news, and this has nothing to do with an injury. It is that Antonio Brown has been suspended for the next 3 games for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because the NFL described it as misrepresenting his vaccination status. The story all began when his personal chef, former personal chef, accused Antonio Brown of providing his team with a fake vaccination card. Antonio Brown's lawyer somehow denied it to the fullest. Been some interesting statements from him recently, but Antonio Brown will not be available for the next 3 games. Now, he was not going to be available because of his ankle injury for the next 2 games, Matthew. There's a lot of tentacles to the situation. Really, it's irresponsible at best by Antonio Brown to do what he has done. At worst, it's much, much worse than that. It's potentially a federal offense for using a fake vaccination card. But for fantasy purposes, he is out until week 16.
Yeah, and just keeping it within sort of fantasy football, I will tell you that I think it's okay if you drop him, if you need the roster spot. Now, so it depends. Again, it sort of depends. Do you play in an ESPN standard league where the playoffs go through week 18 or your finals in week 17? A number of leagues obviously end in week 17. But you think about how much time Antonio Brown has missed up to this point. Stefania, are we on like four games now? This will be game five that he's missed?
I think this is going to be game six,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think we're up to 6 weeks. So, and yeah, I mean, we heard that he was going to miss a couple more weeks. Bruce Arians said the injury, just to go to the injury part, was in a slightly different area that he had something superimposed on. It was now his heel beyond his ankle. Whatever the case, very interesting that he was suddenly going to miss a couple more weeks and then he's out.
Right. So to that point, okay, so let's say it's six. Whether it's five or six, the fact is that week 16, he's going to be, he will have been out nine games, right? Eight or nine games, at least eight games that he will have missed there, probably nine. And so are you suddenly, week 16, that's the semifinals of your league. And if you've made it to the semifinals of your league, you probably have a pretty good team.
Right.
And then are you suddenly going to start Antonio Brown, who hasn't played in 9 weeks, in the semifinals of your fantasy game when you've gotten there without him? So my answer is probably not, unless you're truly desperate, right? You're not going to want to start him first game back. You want to see it. So now you're into week 17, which that's either the first week of a 2-week final on ESPN or it's your finals. So, like, are you saving Antonio Brown and using a roster spot from week 13 to week 17 just for one game?
Probably not.
Probably not. So that's my point. Is like, I think if you sort of play it out, I dropped him. I dropped him in the two leagues that I have. I'm in a 16 team league, so I'm hanging on to him there because, you know. But in the normal size leagues that I have him in, I've dropped him. In the redraft leagues that I have.
I'll leave it here before we get into Thursday Night Football. There's an old saying, to whom much is given, much is expected. So let's be a little bit better. All right. When you have a lot of responsibility, when you are a part of a league that has COVID protocols negotiated by your own players association, we expect more out of our athletes. All three of these players did not meet that standard, which is why they have been suspended for the next 3 weeks of the NFL season.
I think that's well said, Field. And if I can just add one other thing here. Don't stiff your chef, especially if they've got dirt on you. Just a heads up there.
Yeah, we learned.
Just a heads up.
It's so chefs. Interesting.
Pay your chefs on time.
Field gives the part about being responsible and like this, and then Matthew gives the part about don't try to get away with not paying
fair,
someone
Stefania,
who's done work for you. It's just interesting to me who's delivering which aspect.
Which
of
what,
that
by the way, what by the way, which advice would Antonio Brown wish he had taken a month ago? But I'm just saying, like, by the way, like, I'm making a joke, obviously. I'm just trying to, but real talk, like, it's actually part of the same point that Field just made. Too much is given, much is expected. Like asking somebody to pay somebody for the services they provide you is an absolute reasonable thing to do. Like,
sure.
don't stiff people. Like, right. If you, like, pay your debts on time. And if you can't afford them, then don't hire a chef. Yep. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like that's not an outrageous thing to request.
No, it certainly isn't. And I think there are probably some that will interpret our words as saying, like, you know, these players have the right to choose to get the vaccine or not. And that is true. We're not saying they have to get the vaccine. The point is to misrepresent your status like Antonio Brown did. To me, that's where we draw the line. And that's why the punishment is so significant. Three games missed for Antonio Brown, nearly $200,000 in base salary. He's going to miss out on some major incentives as well. He's made a ton of money in his career, but Antonio Brown cost himself a bunch of dough with his actions. Let's move forward to Thursday Night Football because we have to. And Thursday Night Football recap is brought to you by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Go to geico.com today. How was that?
That was much better.
Okay,
I thought that was much better. I thought there was some showmanship there. Okay. I did that, some razzle dazzle.
Mm-hmm. That's what it's all about.
What do you think, Daniel?
I think that Thursday Night Football was really interesting.
Yeah, it was, Dan. That's a great point. So Dak Prescott has another ho-hum night last night, did Dak. He finished with 238 passing yards, a touchdown, interception, -3 rush yards. And I will say this. So the part that I think people are going to latch on to is because he had just 11.2 fantasy points. But that's not very good, right?
No.
I think that really what happened last night is this New Orleans defense is the real deal. They are so, so good. It's just that their offense is so bad that so frequently they've been put, like recently they've been put in so many bad spots.
Sure.
They're like last week they allowed 31 points to the Bills. And I get it, that's an ugly performance, but it's like they're playing like 8 players total on offense, right? So their defense is compromised on occasion. It was a tough matchup for Dak Prescott. He did not meet the expectations, but we talked about this on yesterday's game preview. Rushing yards are so hard to come by for Dak. He has zero over the last three games combined.
Concern.
Zero. But Like, the days of Dak being a runner are probably gone. He had one of the most significant injuries we've seen in a long time for a quarterback, plus a calf injury earlier this year, too.
Certainly gone from his fantasy value this year. I thought overall wasn't a great game for him just from an NFL perspective, but I thought he was fine. Tony Pollard also, by the way, takes a 58-yard run to the house. If that's a swing pass, that's a touchdown versus just a handoff.
Sure,
yeah. I think his night looks a lot different. If he doesn't make that, right, Dak probably gets another touchdown pass, and again, then his night looks a little different. Like, that's just such a...
I can make the counterpoint, though. They also had the ball first and goal from the one.
Right.
And they threw it right away, right? Like, you're thinking to yourself, oh, Zeke's going to score a touchdown. So, but bottom line, it was just an average night from Dak last night, both real and fantasy-wise. He's still going to be a player we rank around our top 10.
He absolutely. And it's interesting, by the way. So I'm in, as you know, I'm one of the remaining six teams in our Survivor League.
Right.
I had a choice last night to start in that Survivor League. So I don't have Kamara. I don't have DeAndre Swift. I don't have Nick Chubb. So it's a tough week for me.
Yeah.
So I had a choice at quarterback. I had Dak Prescott or Taysom Hill. I started Dak.
I mean, what are you doing? I mean,
right. You know, I didn't want it in Taysom's. So that was a mistake. And then because I didn't have Kamara and because all those running backs were missing, I also started Mark Ingram.
Yeah. Tough night. So let's keep things moving.
We'll find out come Tuesday morning. Plays out. One last thing off of that touchdown pass that you mentioned, you know, that was to Michael Gallup. I think this was a point you made on Twitter just about his real life NFL value. He's a free agent after this year. Mm-hmm. We think he's going to get paid. Just. To me, Michael Gallup is one of the more exciting dynasty prospects.
Yeah, I agree.
Currently, you know, I think you're going to see his like the current hot dynasty wide receivers, the Jamar Chases of the world, like they're already rostered in, you know, and not that Michael Gallup isn't, but I think among dynasty wide receivers, he will have one of the biggest jumps in value from this year to next year. Jamar Chase is always already a top guy, top 10 guy. So is Jefferson, you know, so is CeeDee Lamb, et cetera, et cetera. But that's a young wide receiver that I think has a massive dynasty ceiling starting next year.
I think he would look phenomenal in a Jaguars uniform for about 4 years and $56 million, just for anybody asking. Anyways, let's keep things moving forward here. Zeke had a tough night last night in terms of fantasy, just 6.7 fantasy points and 47 total yards. Defying a lot of chatter coming into this game, but the Cowboys managing his workload last night didn't strike me as really managing it. And I think his health, as far as we're concerned, is on a non-factor, but it's not the driving force behind the quiet night.
Yeah, there are certain things that he's not doing well, and you can see it. He's not, you know, explosiveness is the word that keeps being used in terms of Zeke lacking it and Tony Pollard demonstrating it. And I think, you know, we've always seen Zeke be quick to get to the hole and press through. And, you know, maybe there's some blocking up front that's lacking, but he is a step behind, and you see him struggling in that way. And the thing is, he's going to be out there playing regardless. I think what you'll start to see is just naturally, we'll see what happens when McCarthy comes back. But I think that they are going to kind of tip the scale a little bit more in favor of Pollard until they can see some of that happening with Zeke. But I would not make the assumption that, as some people are, that Tony Pollard is just going to take over this role and be the lead back, and Zeke's going to be this secondary change. It's just not going to work.
Not going to happen. Unless Zeke gets seriously hurt, he's going to be the man in this backfield. He was last night in terms of snaps. And by the way, Mike Clay told us last night, this is the best run defense in the NFL going into the game. Now, I know...
Oh, I'm sorry, Field.
No, I was just going to say
the passing game he was completely uninvolved in as well. And that's where Zeke has before been a contributor. You know what I mean? Not relying on his rushing in total. So,
by the way, that if he had got that 1 yard touchdown that I referenced and went to Michael Gallup instead, we're talking about it a bit differently. Tony Pollard did have a big night last night, 15.4 fantasy points. However, just 25 total snaps for Tony Pollard. Quickly on the receivers because we got to get moving here, Stefania. Amari Cooper played, but was very limited, as you cautioned us could be the case last night.
Yeah, and we, you know, when Mike McCarthy talked about him still having a cough early in the week, and so his conditioning, just to be fair, could not be up to par to contribute for a whole game. Now, he had that really nice third down catch that, you know, he ran a beautiful route, but then you saw him out for a bit after. So I think this was on par with what we were hearing, kind of the hints we were getting earlier in the week.
And there were certainly some suggestions for people on Twitter before the game, like, hey, you might want to get Amari Cooper out of your lineup. If you did, you paid off. He had just 6.1 fantasy points. For the Saints, not a pretty night offensively. It hasn't been for a long time. But it was kind of the perfect crystallization of why Taysom Hill is tantalizing for fantasy. He played bad. He had 4 interceptions. He completed 19 of 41 passes. But yet he had 264 passing yards, 101 rushing yards, and nearly 21 fantasy points last night. Last night was a great example as to why fantasy value in quarterback play is nearly the same as real life value in quarterback play. As far as we're concerned, as long as Taysom Hill is the quarterback in New Orleans, he's got top 10 upside every single week. He played poorly last night, did not score a rushing touchdown, and 20.7 fantasy points. If you grabbed him and you've been waiting for him to become the quarterback for the Saints, your wishes have been met and you are in a good spot.
We've talked about him having this kind of upside since it was even rumored that he could become the starter. He made the love list this week. That ended up working out as well. Again, this is a guy that was a top top 8 fantasy quarterback in the 4 games in which he started last year.
Right.
He's off to a great start so far this season. You saw the potential last night. And by the way, against a good Cowboys defense.
Yeah, and there was a point last night, Stefania, where Taysom Hill was saying, ow, my finger.
Yeah, no, literally. Well, look, there's the upside and then the downside. The upside was that he came in with this partially torn plantar fascia, and we were hoping he could be mobile enough. You know, I basically said if they're putting him in at quarterback, they're expecting him to be able to scramble and contribute on the run because Alvin Kamara's out. He was hurdling defenders. Like, that's just unheard of. And not only that, hurdling them and running afterwards. So clearly, he was able to manage through the foot. That's the positive. The negative was that he hit his middle finger on a defender, and you saw him get that fingertip forcibly flexed downward, sort of what happened to Russell Wilson. I'm not saying he has the same injury, but that was the similar type of hit. They splinted him. If you notice, they put the splint on the top of his finger so that he could still touch the football and have the grip, but it was slipping. He was fiddling with it. It's his throwing hand. There's no way it didn't affect him. So let's see what happens with his finger this
week. An eye on that one as the Saints play next Sunday, week 14. But let's get to the injuries that matter for week 13. We'll do that in just a moment. But first, Daniel.
First, Field, think about a major life-changing moments that you've had.
Mm-hmm.
Like buying your first car, getting married, or having your first kid, maybe moving to a new city. Of course, there's also landing that big job that you've been going after, which could bring new opportunities for growth, hopefully a higher salary, new coworkers, new friends, and an awesome new career.
New coworkers? Teammates.
Potentially, Field.
Hey, now.
Whether you're trying to get your first real job out of college, Field, achieve a new title, or land your dream job, you should go to ZipRecruiter.com/easy because ZipRecruiter makes it easy to find that next job that could change your life. How do you ask? ZipRecruiter acts like your personal recruiter. When you create a free profile, ZipRecruiter starts working for you. They send you jobs that match your skills and your experience. And they even pitch your profile to employers whose jobs match your experience. If someone from that company really likes what they see, they can personally invite you to apply for their job. No wonder ZipRecruiter is the number one rated job site by G2. So if you are looking for that life-changing job, Matthew, ZipRecruiter is a game changer. They make your whole job search experience better. Sign up for free on ZipRecruiter.com/easy today. Once again, go to ZipRecruiter.com/easy right now to sign up for free. ZipRecruiter.com/easy. Let ZipRecruiter do the work for you.
Time now for the injuries. What do you want
to
do?
I just wanted to give a quick shout out
to
our friend Michael Gelkin, who does a great job covering the Cowboys at Gelkin NFL. He tweeted before the game just about the fact that he was seeing Amari Cooper not really practicing. It was, you know, barely doing anything in the 7-7s, not really doing anything in 11-11, and just saying, hey, for those of you fantasy football managers with Amari Cooper on your team, I would be very nervous about his first game back. And so I retweeted that, but good heads up by Michael. Hopefully you saw the tweet as well. Obviously, Amari Cooper limited last night. I'm just saying. Yes. I just want to give a shout out to Michael. That's all.
Got it. Okay. Speaking of while we're giving Twitter shout outs, we turn to our injury portion. I wanted to read a tweet from Matthew Berry, TMR. The lie.
Yeah, I know. Stupid autocorrect. Are you going to go ahead? Go ahead. Go ahead. Mock me. I'm deserving of it.
Stefania, the Lions has officially ruled out DeAndre Swift for Sunday's game.
They has?
They has.
They has.
English is his second language.
Exactly. I'm doing very well. It was spelled correctly. I mean, I got H-A-S. Sure? I got it spelled correctly.
Those three-letter words
can be so tricky when you're trying to spell it.
I know. Stupid Twitter and no edit button.
Wait a second. That was while you're doing the show. What if you had to host the show while you were trying to do all you
could? That's what I'm saying. That's why I can't host the show.
No, the tweet would have been the Lions, DeAndre Swift. That's the whole tweet.
That's it. That's it.
I forgot what it was. What does that mean, Matthew? Yeah. Okay,
well, let's fill officially. In the blank. Anyway. The Lions, DeAndre Swift, is officially out for this game per Adam Schefter. If you've been listening to the podcast, you would have heard us tell you yesterday that Jeremy Fowler had reported he was likely to miss a couple of weeks. He's dealing with an AC sprain. We talked about how that's problematic for running back who lowers their shoulder, takes that contact. And Dan Campbell had even told us early in the week that it would be tough to see him making it for this week. But now it's official, and you can, if you're like me and you have a lot of Jamal Williams stock, get ready to put Jamal Williams in your lineup.
Should be a very good matchup here. Vikings over the last 4 weeks, 31st against the run. Mm. Jamal Williams in his career, when he gets over 15 touches, he's averaging 19 fantasy points per game, which last week would have been running back 13. Again, over, for the course of the year, Vikings bottom 10 in the NFL in terms of most fantasy points allowed to opposing running backs. We expect a heavy workload for Jamal Williams in this one. Again, made the love list, like him quite a bit. And hopefully DeAndre Swift makes it back soon.
Moving forward to more injuries here, Stefania. A little bit of a surprise because he finished the game last week, but Melvin Gordon sounds a little bit iffy for Sunday Night Football.
He is, and I'm a little bit surprised as well for the same reason. You know, he left early in the game to get checked out, but they end up coming back into the game, and so I think, you know, we sort of assumed that he was going to be okay, but listed on the injury report with the shoulder, he's been dealing with that for a couple weeks, but the hip issue, that's what came up last week. He did not practice on Wednesday or Thursday, and, you know, it sounds like there's a chance he could actually miss this game.
Could be a really interesting glimpse into the future for Denver, as Gordon's going to be a free agent this offseason, and Javonte Williams, our 21-year-old rookie, has been really good playing a 50-50 role with Melvin Gordon. He has an opportunity on Sunday night to potentially be the guy in the backfield for Denver. We'll see some Mike Boone as well, I would suspect, but if Javonte Williams gets 20 or 25 opportunities on Sunday night, he could be an RB1 for the week, Matthew.
There's no question. Look, we know about the talent, and the question with Javonte Williams this entire year has just been about workload. Mm. He's obviously been in as even a split as there has been in the NFL between him and Melvin Gordon. If Javonte Williams is getting all of the work, it's actually not that tough of a matchup. It's actually not that great of a matchup. Kansas City's been pretty good against the run recently, but I think the volume of work and his talent would make him a must start on Sunday.
Moving forward. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
If Melvin Gordon is indeed out.
And hopefully we get some information Sunday morning because that game is Sunday night against the Chiefs. Let's move forward here, Stefania. James Robinson for the Jaguars. He's been on the injury report a lot this year, but he generally has played. Any concern about him not playing on Sunday?
Well, I think we'll feel better after Friday's practice, but at least he's been out on a limited basis. That's how he's been listed, is limited participation. The heel injury, also dealing with the sore knee, but I'm not too worried yet. Let's see what happens Friday.
It's good news there. How about J.D. McKissick, Stefania? It sounds like not such good news for the Washington football
team. Yeah, he's really not doing anything. J.D. McKissick, originally a neck injury, it was labeled. It wasn't until later this week that they labeled it a concussion, but he has not practiced at all. Really hasn't been seen doing anything. Okay. And that means you're probably going to get more work out of Antonio Gibson, who still does appear on the injury report because of his shin, but has said he's feeling better. He's clearly running harder. I think what's interesting, talking with John Keim, who covers the team for us, he said they could have some big injuries on their offensive line. So there's a little concern about how that will play out for the run game this week.
McKissick not on the practice field just moments ago when the team took to its Friday practice. They, of course, play the Raiders on Sunday in Vegas. Yes,
so
they do.
It's really highly unlikely we're going to see McKissick.
We'll probably get clarity on McKissick. I would suspect he does not play. That would be the most likely outcome at this point of the week. For the Eagles, Stefania, I've got Jalen Hurts and Miles Sanders and Jordan Howard and Boston Scott all on the injury report. What can you tell us about these guys?
Yeah, I think this is... I got to look because there's so many.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, Boston Scott, we weren't really thinking. We just thought, well, Boston Scott will be available. He's been out with they're saying a non-COVID related illness, but he hasn't practiced for 2 days. We've talked about Jalen Hurts being a tough guy who's going to want to try and push through this ankle injury and play. And it sounds like they might let him go ahead and do that. He's been out there practicing, but I have concerns about his ankle and what it will allow him to do if he does, in fact, play. Jordan Howard's still not practicing with the knee issue. And Miles Sanders is practicing. In fact, he put in a full practice on Thursday, so he actually upgraded. I think you're going to get Miles Sanders, no Jordan Howard. And we'll see if Boston Scott's healthy enough to go.
A little bit of breaking news here. How about this? Daniel Jones out for the New York Giants. Stefania, no surprise there. But let's get back to the Eagles before we talk about Daniel Jones a little bit further, Matthew. Just sounds like Miles Sanders will give it a go, or has a chance to give it a go. Boston Scott sounds like he's unlikely given his illness situation. So can we trust Miles Sanders after what happened last week?
Trust is a strong word, but if ever there was a game for Miles Sanders, this is it. So we don't so far at the early start of the Eagles practice, to your point, no sign of Boston Scott, no sign of Jordan Howard as well, who's still dealing with that knee injury. But Miles Sanders looks like he'll go. Jalen Hurts walking around on that gimpy ankle. And so even if Hurts is starting, maybe they limit his rushing. They're playing the Jets. Miles Sanders, listen, if ever there was a week, if ever there was a week, this is the week for fantasy managers that have stuck by you. And I am not one of them. Just to be clear, I am not one of them. Fantasy, I have been anti-Miles Sanders for pretty much his entire pro career. But I am on him this week. And I think that if ever there was a week for Miles Sanders to be a RB1 in fantasy, it's this week against a New York Jets run defense that is 30th against the run over the last 4 weeks.
Because you're suggesting to go out and pick up Miles Sanders, should everyone also make sure they grab Kenneth Gainwell, because he's the one that's probably going to score all the points after you just did that whole...
It depends. Are you playing against Gainwell this weekend in any leagues?
I am not. I am playing against Jalen Hurts.
The answer is no. Yeah,
and
no.
And by the way, you know who else... But I'll tell you who else I'm playing against. Playing against the Dallas defense, who got 17 points last night. It's unbelievable. In the War Room League, 17 points out of stupid Cowboys defense. After last week, I played against the Bengals defense, went off 31 fantasy points from their defense and kicker last week. And so, anyway, it's unbelievable.
You know what
else? You're right, damn right. Yeah. Start making those crying tears.
It's also unbelievable. That
what's else unbelievable? It's, come on, defenses and kickers. To get scored against over 30 points from defenses and kickers each of the last 2 weeks is stupid bad luck. Mm. Come on. Everyone's with me out there.
Don't play
with defenses and kickers is the rule.
Matthew has been playing fantasy for 50 years and has experienced exclusively bad luck.
Exclusively.
Can you believe this? One of these days,
something is going to work out for me in fantasy football. I believe
it's not
going to
be
back in 62 when potentially. The guy he was playing against broke the abacus. Matthew was leading upon the final tally and the abacus broke and the guy was like, let's flip a coin. And they flipped a coin and Matthew lost because of bad abacus. How about that? Yeah. You mentioned Daniel Jones is out on Sunday. That means Mike Glennon is starting, as I mentioned earlier this week. Play your Dolphins defense if you have them. Stefania, let's keep things moving here to the Rams, who have a couple of major question marks, both at running back and wide receiver.
Yeah, I think we didn't hear much that suggested that Daryl Henderson's quad strain was serious, but he has mispracticed Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, a big day for the Rams. Like I said, they're big on recovery, and if Daryl Henderson can practice on Friday, then I think he has a shot to play. But he's been banged up a little bit before. So Friday is a big tell for Daryl Henderson. Odell Beckham also uncertain to play because of a hip injury that he sustained. He did participate a little bit on Wednesday, but was out of practice on Thursday. So definitely pay attention to your Rams.
Interesting one here. I don't know that the Rams, they would never admit as much, but they're playing the Jaguars. I wonder if they think bigger picture here with both Henderson and OBJ. Not that the Rams have given us a ton of confidence recently, but still. They should be able to beat Jacksonville. Maybe they play the bigger picture, put the bigger picture in mind here. If no Daryl Henderson, I do like Sony Michel a lot this weekend. They can run the football against Jacksonville. They can do probably whatever they want offensively against Jacksonville. We'll have more on this on Fantasy Football Now come Sunday. Stefania, it's been a tough year for Allen Robinson, and it sounds like it's not getting much easier.
No, it's not. It's still not practicing because of that hamstring injury, and just doesn't sound like he's going to be available.
No idea what his market looks like in free agency this offseason. Really talented guy who has not had a good 2021. Brandon Cook, Stefania, this one's interesting as well. The Texans, as we talked about yesterday, have been dealing with non-COVID illness situation throughout the organization. What can you tell us about Brandon Cooks?
Running through the organization, Brandon Cooks not practicing at all so far this week, so remains to be seen. Again, Friday, always a big day. The illnesses are hard, right? Because one day they can be out not doing anything, the next day they can be back and look pretty good. So check your Friday practice.
We've also seen guys be sick all week, mispractice all week, and then play on Sunday, right? It's different when you're sick, you have a fever or something like that versus an ankle sprain. So we'll keep an eye on Brandon Cooks' status, even if he does not practice today. If you want to start somebody not named Brandon Cooks in the Texans, good luck. Moving forward, here's Stefania. Darren Waller sounds like he will be unlikely to suit up on Sunday.
Yeah, it's not looking great. The IT band strain. I just have to keep saying it because it's so unique that they actually report that. So IT band strain for Darren Waller, not practicing at all so far this week. We already mentioned that Bisaccia had said he was week to week, which didn't make it sound good for Sunday.
Foster Moreau from LSU is a top 10 player for both Matthew and I in our tight end ranks this week. He played 100% of the snaps when he filled in for Darren Waller previously. Last week, even in a game in which Darren Waller started the game, he played 89.6 of the offensive snaps. 89.6% of the offensive snaps, I should say. One more tight end injury, Stefania. Pat Freiermuth has been banged up recently because of a concussion.
If I can just mention one thing off Foster Moreau, we both like him as a streamer, but it's worth noting, like, I've seen this just around a lot. Like, hey, the last time Darren Waller was out, Foster Moreau, 6-for-60 and a touchdown, had this huge game. They played the Eagles, which is like, you know, every tight end scores against the Eagles. They're playing Washington, middle of the pack against tight ends. So I would lower expectations on Moreau a little bit. I actually really like Hunter Renfrow in this game. I still think, again, he's a viable streamer. To your point, Field, we both have him as a borderline top 10 play this week. But I want to pump the brakes a little bit on Foster Moreau because I've seen some...
Sure, but still...
I've seen a little out of control hype on him based on that one game. And I'm just like, yeah, but it was the ego. Like, anyway.
Sure, but we still have him as top 10 play.
Yeah. So, a viable streamer. Noting. That's what I'm saying. But I'm just, you know.
What more, Svanya? Pat Freiermuth.
Yeah, you know... Full participation Wednesday and Thursday. He's been dealing with a concussion. Look, UPMC has the Sports Concussion Center right there, right next to the practice field. So if anyone is going to be getting good evaluation throughout the week, it's Freiermuth. And if they already have him listed as a full participant that early in the week, that's a great sign heading into the weekend.
So for those that are watching in the live stream right now, in the lower third, the bottom portion of your screen, you can see Pat Freiermuth. That might be his middle school headshot. He looks so young like a doughboy in that picture. I've seen him recently. He's like rocked up. He's got a beard and a goatee, which we had just a minute ago. We have a ton of different headshots available. I love that one of Pat Freiermuth. Like, little young Pat right there. Young Patty just making plays in the end zone. He is a top 10 or so consideration. Actually, I have a number 7. Matthew has him at 6. So a top 7 consideration at tight end. He's been very good for Pittsburgh recently. Let's talk about some players that are backups. We're building up the backups amongst the running backs.
You know who we're going to talk about, Field?
Let me guess.
We're going to talk about Alexander Mattison.
Oh!
His name is Alexander Mattison. And there's a million things he hasn't done. But just you wait. He gets the Lions on Sunday.
That was so good. Oh, should Daniel host the show instead?
Really? That'd be fine with me.
Okay.
Fine
so,
with me. Hey, Matthew, what? That's from a musical. It's called Hamilton. Yeah. I don't know if you've heard about it, Matthew, but
Matthew lived it, so yeah. It's like he doesn't have to.
Wow.
You know where Alexander Hamilton went to college?
I believe he went to Hamilton University, obviously.
Okay. he went to Princeton.
Makes more sense.
Yeah. I have a Princeton shirt on. I don't need my ESPN.
Well done.
As part of his enrollment, they were like, okay, welcome. We're also naming the school after you now. Right, so that's part of how this works.
That's how it works. Yeah. Anyway, so sounds like this is the room where it happened. Is that,
Wow. Good for you, man.
Really proud of you. I believe Hamilton's coming back to Hartford, I think, in June. So that'd be a fun field trip. That'd be fun to go see together.
That would be fun. Yeah. Yeah, we should go.
Matthew can pay for the tickets.
Let's
move forward here. Building up the backups. Bingo. Let's talk about the running backs.
Bingo.
Yeah. Alexander Mattison, who Daniel gave a wonderful rendition of just moments ago, cracks our top 4 each. Matthew and I have been the top 4 for running backs. And Matthew, not only is he your top 4 running back, he makes the love list this week.
Look, he's a very talented player, obviously. What do we talk about in fantasy? Success comes from talent and opportunity. He's got both in a massive way this week. Obviously, when he's replaced Cook so far this year, week 3, he was the number 7 running back in fantasy that week, 23.1 fantasy points against Seattle. He was running back 6 in week 5 when he scored 28.3 against these same Detroit Lions that he will play again on Sunday. Again, the Lions are a bottom 5 team in rushing yards and rushing touchdowns allowed to running backs, to be candid. They're bottom 5 in a lot of stats, but those are the two that are most relevant here. So Alexander Mattison, who will get a ton of work, and somehow Field was not rostered in over 50% of leagues. I'm sure his rostership percentage has gone up this week.
Way up.
But it was shocking to me that he was available in close to 75% of leagues as of Tuesday morning this week. Again, last week, week 5 against these same Lions, 25 carries, 7 catches, 153 yards. He scored a touchdown. Doggies. I have him as a top 4 play this week.
Kyle, make a note of this one if you can, because I think we might have some more offseason content this upcoming year. Make a note of Alexander Mattison and Dalvin Cook an impossible pod around like roster construction strategies.
Yeah, sure.
And why insurance policies can be very very important. One more running back backup to build up before we go to a quick live read. And that is Jamal Williams of the Detroit Lions, Matthew, who also is a top 15 play for both you and I in the same game against the Vikings. Thoughts here on Jamal?
Yeah, I mean, when we talked about him a little earlier in the show when we got the news that DeAndre Swift has officially been ruled out, right?
Has he? Yes. He have been ruled out.
He have been ruled out.
Yes.
No, the Lions. No, I screwed that up. The Lions has officially ruled
right.
out.
He have been ruled out. Right.
Right.
He have been.
Right. He have been. So that was my tweet.
All right. So play Jamal Williams. Let's talk about Miles Gaskin.
Anyway. Right. Again, like I just said. Like again, Vikings are bottom 10 Vikings are bottom 10 against running backs for the year. They're actually bottom 3 against running backs in terms of most rushing yards allowed over the last 4 weeks. Jamal Williams is going to get a heavy workload in a good matchup. He's a talented player. When he has gotten work in his career, he has always produced. He's going to get work on Sunday.
Let's move a couple of players that you might consider benching to play those guys. Other names include like the likes of Saquon Barkley. Would you bench Miles Gaskin, though, Matthew, to play either of these two players? I kind of do like Miles Gaskin with the way he's been rolling recently. He's been okay. He's been a top 12 running back in 3 of the past 4 weeks. If you had the opportunity to bench Gaskin to play either of those two, would you do it?
I would bench back. I mean, I have both Alexander Mattison and Jamal Williams ranked higher than Miles Gaskin, right, who comes in at 15 for me this week. So, yes, I would bench Miles Gaskin for either of those two players.
I'll put it this way, though. It's not like super clear cut. Like, this is not the type of benching that I'm like. Saquon's a good example of somebody that if I had Saquon and I had the opportunity to play Alexander Mattison or Jamal Williams, I'd do it. Like, Saquon just makes me uneasy because of the matchup, because of the quarterback, because of the way that that offensive line has played, the lack of rushing yards. You need like 5 or 6 catches from Saquon, which is definitely possible, by the way, but he makes me a little bit nervous. I'm a little bit lower on him than somebody like Miles Gaskin.
Which is fair. I mean, listen, the thing about Gaskin is the volume has been there.
Right.
I mean, he's been really volume dependent, but it's happened. He's got 6 straight games now with 15 or more touches, right? He's actually averaging almost 20 touches per game in that stretch. And so with the injury to Malcolm Brown, they've really kind of committed to Gaskin in a way they weren't earlier in the season, where we were just all going like it was a Gaskin week and then it wasn't a Gaskin week. It was just all over the place. Phil Lindsay seems a little bit banged up. He had gotten some work last week, you know,
he signed carries, with the Dolphins. Right?
Yeah. And they liked him. And Flores said after the game that they expected to use him more, but he's been banged up this week. So we'll see if he can get back out there. But I agree with you. Like, the Giants as a team don't scare you. They're 27th against the run over the last 4 weeks. And also, as you mentioned early on the show, Joe Judge confirming Daniel Jones will not play in this game. Mike Glennon is going to be the starter against a defense that's played as well as almost any team in the NFL recently, the Miami Dolphins. And what I say there is, you think about how this game plays out. Mike Glennon, probably a turnover or two. Do the Dolphins get good field position? Is there a chance for Gaskin to get a cheap one here? I think there probably is. So I think the Dolphins win this game. I think the Dolphins win this game actually fairly handily. Mm. The line's -5. I like the Dolphins. I went from -4.5 to 5. It started at -3 for the Dolphins. Give me the Dolphins at -5. I think they win this game easily. And really, like, I do think Gaskin is a viable play this week.
A player that makes your hate list this week amongst running backs is Josh Jacobs, Matthew, who it feels like the most nondescript season for Josh Jacobs ever. Like, if you look at the numbers, he's been okay.
Yeah.
But does anybody sit there and say, like, man, I'm super stoked I draft Josh Jacobs this year? Not really.
No, because it's like, he is a touchdown and volume dependent running back, which is why he was on the hate list in the preseason. Because I'm like, I don't know that the Raiders are always going to be leading and needing him. Mm-hmm. Now, against the Cowboys on Thanksgiving, they were. He played great, right? And Jacobs was great. But there have also been a lot of games where he just gets phased out. And in fact, since John Gruden has left the Raiders, they've been involving Kenyon Drake more. You know, I mean, so the volume has been up and down. The weird part is they're also starting to involve Josh Jacobs in the passing game more. That was one of the knocks in the preseason, was they just don't, this guy is never involved in the passing game. And recently they have involved him in the passing game. However, I think this is a fairly even game against my Washington football team. I believe the line is currently like 2.5 at the moment. So it's going to be a fairly close game against my Washington football team. As you've seen what Washington has done over the last couple of weeks, they control the clock, right? They like to go on these long clock killing drives. And so I think you will see fewer possessions for each team, And then, by the way, the Washington football team has really been good over the last 4 weeks. They're the best run defense in the NFL. Since week five, they've allowed the fifth fewest fantasy points to opposing running backs. They've allowed just one rushing touchdown to a running back in their last five games. And so I don't know that Josh Jacobs has a ton of success here. He made my hate list this week. Now, again, after the Thursday night game, he moves up to running back 16. But I would lower expectations for Josh Jacobs in this one.
So you're saying it's a Foster Moreau game? Is that what you're saying?
I think it's a Hunter Renfro game.
Okay.
Hunter Renfro made my love list. I think it's a Hunter Renfro game. If DeSean Jackson plays in this game, I think DeSean Jackson gets in the end zone.
Ooh.
A little bit of revenge narrative. Ooh, wow. Washington has struggled with defending the deep pass. Landon Collins not probably going to play in this game. I think that's going to hurt as well. I mean, you saw that on Monday night where, like, you know, they just
he's a linebacker now, though.
Yeah, I mean, well, exactly. But what happens is, like, they have miscommunication there and it just gets past them. And, like, anyway, going from Landon Collins, I agree with you. Landon Collins is playing a lot more linebacker than what he was signed to do, but it's a downgrade for that defense.
Question for you.
Yes, sir.
By the way, Josh Jacobs was added to the injury report yesterday. I thought we were. Just so you know.
That was my question.
Yeah. Was it?
Well, that was one of my two questions.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to make sure we hit that because he was added because of his ankle. So he was limited in practice yesterday. He missed a couple games earlier this year because of his ankle and his toe back in weeks 2 and 3. And it's unclear whether he was doing something in practice and aggravated it, if it's something new. You know, usually when you're added on a Thursday and it's limited, it means you started practice and didn't finish it. So pay attention to today's report.
Okay, we'll keep an eye on that one on Josh Jacobs.
Kenyon Drake would be the next man up.
Interesting. You picked him up in the war room. Like, Daniel, I have a question for you.
Yeah, what's up?
Maybe some Peyton Barber, you know.
Think about great sports curses.
Yeah.
Like, Curse of the Bambino is always the first one that comes to mind for me. Do you think of any others? Like, are there any other curses you think of? Because I'm wondering if one is developing right now, right before our eyes.
The only curse that I feel is the curse that's been on my entire life for the Detroit Lions. Is that what you mean?
That's one for sure.
Well, no, but I don't think it's developing right now. Are you talking about the curse of Stefania Bell?
No, that's a curse that's been well known. No. I don't believe in that curse, but I do wonder.
Science has proven that.
Do you think there's a chance that the ride or die curse is hitting? I'm wondering if Austin Eckler should perhaps retire right now.
Uh-huh.
All right, so a couple years ago, Josh Jacobs, your ride or die, right? Actually played pretty well until he got hurt. He gets hurt. Since then, Daniel Jones last year, ride or die.
Yeah.
We'll just leave it there. Austin Eckler, ride or die. He's playing great. He's looking smart right now. But next year, like.
By the way, you know who one of my other ride or dies was? Darius Geis.
Wow.
Who then tore his ACL like 2 weeks later in the preseason.
Yeah.
Man, so maybe there is a ride or die curse. I hadn't even thought about that.
That seems pretty definitive.
Matthew's only going to pick other NFC East players going forward now. Next year's be like, curse.
It started with Kareem
Dak Prescott and Zeke Elliott and Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb are my ride or dies next year, right?
That's what I probably should do.
I always go 2-15. It's going to be amazing.
Kareem Hunt's rookie year.
That was good,
Before Spencer Ware got hurt.
No, that was a great call.
That was my ride or die, and obviously he had a monster rookie year. So
let's keep moving here.
You set Cordarrelle Patterson back 8 years.
I hadn't come up with the fantasy ride or die, but Cordarrelle Patterson 8 years ago, he might as well have been. It was just 8 years too early.
Right.
Whatever, I had it right. Just, you know, like, whatever. Just timing was a little off.
Well, it is now time to go for two, brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer with a pair of star Cardinals. Stefania, I actually want to start with you. We're talking about both Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins, who are coming back from injury. Give us some injury updates on them before we go to Matthew and Field.
Well, they're both, you know, being listed as limited. And I think that, you know, the Cardinals are still being coy about their status. Kyler Murray has said out loud that he's hopeful that he will play on Sunday. DeAndre Hopkins posted a nice picture on Instagram of himself, like, back in action. I think that makes it pretty clear that DeAndre Hopkins expects to play. I think both of them are going to be out there, barring some big surprise. I think this is the week we get them back.
That is excellent news. We've all missed them. That much is for sure. I do wonder, though, Matthew, should Kyler Murray be a lineup lock this week, or does he make your hate list?
Kyler Murray, he's definitely not a lineup lock for me. He does make my hate list here, right? Chicago 15th against quarterback so far this year. Weeks 5 through 8, Kyler Murray. Again, this is his first game back after a while. But weeks 5 through 8, this is a quarterback that was quarterback 14 on a per game basis. Like, he was just ahead of Ryan Tannehill. He was behind Jameis Winston. Mm-hmm. He's not running. Yeah. Right. That's the other part, right? I mean, so he doesn't have a rushing touchdown since September. He doesn't have a 20-yard run since week 16 of last year. He's averaging under 19 rushing yards a game. You think about last year when he averaged over 51 rushing yards a game. So he's not running the way you would hope him to. And the Bears defense, by the way, actually playing pretty well. They're the third best pass defense over the last 4 weeks. This game is in Chicago. You don't normally love playing in Chicago in December in general. It's, you know, it's not a particularly high over under. So yeah, Kyler Murray outside my, I have him with a, with now that Dak and Taysom, I had him outside my top 10 when the week started. He's moved up to number 10 now because Taysom Hill and Dak Prescott, who both were in my top 10, have been taken out of the rankings after Thursday night. But yes, Kyler Murray, I don't think is a lineup lock. It depends on who else you have.
Good news there. Let's move forward. Well, it's good news to have him back at the very least. Let's talk about DeAndre Hopkins here for a second. And D-Hop, Matthew, remember before the injury, like he wasn't necessarily DeAndre Hopkins in all capital letters. Is he a lineup lock this week?
Yeah, I mean, again, I have him as a very low-end wide receiver, too, inside my top 20, which is fine. Yeah. But I think there's obviously a chance that you could have better players or better options. Better players is not the right word. DeAndre Hopkins is one of the most talented wide receivers in the NFL. The concern here is that he's actually been touchdown dependent this year, right? Mm. Now, that's worked out. He's had 7 healthy games this year. He's got 7 touchdowns. But the concern here is that they spread the ball around so much. No team runs as many 4 wide receiver sets, I believe, than the Arizona Cardinals. They're involving Rondell Moore, 11 targets the last time we saw him. Christian Kirk, AJ Green, Zach Ertz has become a bigger part of this offense as well. Obviously, they like running the ball with James Conner. And so DeAndre Hopkins, who last year was just a target monster, hasn't been that guy this year. And it's, again, you just heard me talk about Kyler Murray and how I don't love this matchup on the road at Chicago in December against a Bears pass secondary that's played better as of late. Again, I think Hopkins is much closer to a lower end wide receiver too than the top 5 guy that he was drafted as.
Pick every NFL matchup for a shot at prizes with Pigskin Pick'em presented by Truly Hard Seltzer. Play at ESPN.com/PigskinPick'em or on the ESPN app.
Time now for expectations on the Chiefs and the Broncos. Was that good enough or no?
You're doing a great job.
Was that some sort of Hamilton? Was that like one of the bad Hamilton songs?
No. He's being a presenter.
Yeah, he's a presenter, like before a boxing match. Yeah, Michael, was it Michael Buffer? Is that his name?
Michael Buffer.
Let's move
Random Michael here. Buffer story. Michael Buffer has copyrighted that phrase. Let's get ready to rumble.
Right. That's why I didn't use it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's copyright Michael Buffer. Just want to clarify that. So he's copyrighted that phrase. And like, if I told you how much, like when I was a sitcom writer, we had one of the shows that I was on, we had an episode where our main character was getting into a boxing match with somebody else. We thought it'd be funny to guest star with him.
Yeah.
And so we had him on the show. But if I told you what we had to pay him to come and say that one line, you would be, Michael Buffer is a very smart and very rich man. That was what I will tell you.
When were you doing sitcom? 48, 49? When were you?
Talkies. Yeah. When Talkies had just started.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll tell you, it was on the George Carlin show. It was on the, back on the old George Carlin show. So
nice.
George got into a fight. Anyway, and which one of the great experiences of my life. And I loved working for George. As people know, I've written about that before, but I was George's assistant on that show.
Love it. Quickly on the Chiefs running backs, Matthew. Is there one that you would play clearly over the other, or are both potentially usable in Clyde Edwards-Helaire and also Darrell Williams?
I think they're both usable as flexes. Okay. If I had to start one, I suppose it's Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but I don't love this. I don't love it, right? You know what I mean? Like in terms of, like, I know before we saw them, Edwards-Helaire got the, you know, got the touchdown. He was clearly playing ahead of Darrell Williams, but Darrell Williams is being used enough. And again, if I'm saying, I think this is a big Mahomes game.
Yeah.
I think it's a big Mahomes game. I think Kelce and he'll go off here. I'm kind of
go
interested.
Go off, King.
And I'm kind of interested in Byron Pringle, by the way. Byron Pringle has played a lot more snaps than Mecole Hardman or any of the other complementary wide receivers in Kansas City, more than DeMarcus Robinson. Mm-hmm. Feels like he's clearly established himself. If you look at the last couple of games in terms of routes run and snaps played, Byron Pringle has clearly played himself above everyone that isn't Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce in the passing game for the Chiefs. It hasn't manifested itself in massive production. He's had double-digit fantasy points in 2 of the last 4. Just kind of a gut call. Byron Pringle. Like it.
Gut call on Patrick Mahomes, gut call on Byron Pringle. Daniel, yeah. What do you got?
Really quickly, and we're going to get to one more topic before we close this out, but Matthew, you and I taped a fun episode of the Fantasy Show yesterday. If people want to find a way to watch that, how can they do that?
Yeah, well, first off, they can subscribe to rotopass.com. Because when you subscribe to rotopass.com, you get 12 months of ESPN Plus.
But there's literally 27 days left in the year. Why would I want just...
Because when you subscribe to rotopass.com, Field, thank you for that planted question, you get 12 months of access. So it's not just this year. You get it all next year. You'll get it for all preseason football. You get for dynasty drafts, for best ball drafts, all throughout the offseason as well. If you play DFS, we have DFS lineup optimizers as well that'll help you during the playoffs and for the Super Bowl. So anyway, whatever you play, again, best ball, dynasty, there are tools there. You get 5 great sites along with ESPN Plus. You can read all of my content, all of Field's content, all of Stefania's content. And of course, you can stream the fantasy show on ESPN Plus along with all the other great ESPN Plus programming. It's not that expensive. It's not that much more than a full year of ESPN Plus. So you basically get ESPN Plus plus a bunch of other sites.
It's ESPN Plus Plus.
It's ESPN Plus Plus is what it basically is. But anyway, rotopass.com, promo code 06010 gets you 10% off, 12 months access to ESPN Plus and 5 other great sites.
So you get ESPN Plus, ESPN Plus Plus, and ESPN Minus Plus in one package, Daniel.
I love it.
What topic do you want to close out with?
Do you have one in mind? Because I was going to ask you guys about the Seahawks wide receivers. Because, like, listen.
Sure. Let's do that.
I don't know what to say about it.
I've got 4, Daniel. So we got 4 players.
You've got 4 guys want to talk about?
Well, but 2 of them are Seahawks wide receivers. And it's going to be quick.
You say that. You know Matthew's still a part of the show, right?
Oh, he is? Mm. Oh, okay. Well, the idea was...
Kyle tells me he since week 7, QB19. Patrick Mahomes, QB19.
Good job. That was off the top of your head.
Yeah.
Well, you don't got a lot up there.
So we'll start with the 2 wide receivers in Seattle and see how many we can get to. But the idea of this last segment is going to be really simple. If you have these players, speaking generally, are you still starting them despite what's happened in recent weeks, or are you trying to find an alternative? Matthew, Tyler Lockett.
Starting him.
Okay. I agree. Tyler Lockett still had 3 catches last week for 100 yards, 96 yards. He has been productive, and he's obviously a threat to break a big one any single week. DK Metcalf, OC Shane Waldron said, I believe it was yesterday, the Seahawks need to find more opportunities for DK Metcalf. We all agree on that. Is that good enough to vault him back into your lineup?
He made my love list this week. Okay. And it's totally a gut call.
Okay. You got a lot of gut calls. I love it.
And I'm just owning it, right? Look, because there's not a lot of stats that can tell you anything. Like, since Russell Wilson came back, DK Metcalf is averaging 5 fantasy points a game. Like, not a typo. 5 points a game. Mm-hmm. But my expectation is that because that was such a bad loss against Washington on Monday night, and so much was made of the fact that DK Metcalf didn't get a target until the 4th quarter, it's a little bit of squeaky wheel gets the grease, even though DK Metcalf hasn't really sounded off about that. But my they know they got to get that guy involved. Mm. He has traditionally killed San Francisco. Stefania can speak to this as well, but the last 3 times that DK Metcalf has played the Niners, he is absolutely crushed. And so I just feel like again, it's a gut call, but DK Metcalf is too talented, and that Seahawks team is too desperate not to get the ball in the big guy's hands.
One more here, Mike Williams for the Chargers. Matthew, he has been down recently. He's been bad in 5 of his 6 past games. What do you think about playing him on Sunday against the Bengals?
I think he is what he has been recently, which is a risk-reward wide receiver 3. Mm-hmm. Bengals played really good defense.
Yeah, they are.
Bengals are playing really good defense. If you want to just talk about gut calls, there's a part of me that sort of feels like this could get into shootout territory.
Okay.
That this one could just sort of, two offenses that are playing well. The only question is, does Cincinnati just roll over them running wise? Because the Chargers have been a run funnel defense for a while, and Mixon's been so good, and just are their limited possessions here. But again, I think Mike Williams is a boom bust wide receiver 3. It's worth noting that Bengals are 12th against wide receivers, right? And they're bottom 10 in terms of opponent deep completion percentage and percentage of opponent end zone on target percentage, which is a long stat, which is a very long stat. But the Bengals have played good defense generally,
right?
Just overall, they've been playing pretty good defense, but you can beat them deep. And so if they're going to take a deep shot, it's probably going to go to Mike Williams. So,
okay, there you have
question.
It. Go ahead, Stefania.
Kendrick Bourne on Monday night field.
Versus
what kind of against the Buffalo Bills?
Sorry, what are you saying? Is there someone else you're choosing between, or just saying, generally?
No, I'm just saying, like,
yeah, I mean, he's got at least 4 electric, catches in 5 of his past 6 games.
And do I trust him on Monday night? Bills defense, what
Notre Davis White. I will say this, weather looks a little windy on Monday night. Looks like it could be a night where you want to ground and pound as opposed to airing it out. That being said, like, we're not talking about like 70 mile an hour winds like that San Francisco Indianapolis game on Sunday night about a month and a half ago. I'd say Stefania, I know it's a 16 team league that you're referring to. Like, I think he's usable in that format. I think I would probably have him as like wide receiver 40 or so for the week. Yeah. Matthew agrees. And by the way, we are on Fantasy Football Now, Sunday morning, on ESPN's Twitter and Facebook page and the ESPN app and the ESPN Fantasy app and everywhere else that you normally watch the podcast. For Matthew and Stefania and Daniel, I am Field. We look forward to talking to you on Sunday. Please remind your friends of where we'll be. We'll talk to you then.
Peace out.
He's a fantasy guru in a boat on an island, going full Haynesworth without even trying. Award-winning creations like his news or noise segment are reasons we all love the cut of his jib. Country fast and strong, bordering away again in Matthew Berryville. Searching for a Field shoe in a pile of junk. When you lose a bet, you have 1 year to pay. He's the king of football fantasy. He's Matthew Berry. He's Matthew Berry. He's Matthew Berry.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.